There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And earlier at the Mobile City Council meeting, Mayor Stimson said... No, I said earlier at the Mobile City Council meeting, Mayor Stimson said...
Oh, no. Another note. As we started taking down the Christmas tree, we started getting a few messages on social media and a phone call about, you know, Mayor, maybe you need to leave that up and make it into a Mardi Gras tree. And of course, Mardi Gras trees have just been around for a few years, but I can honestly say that nobody on staff, and I doubt any city council, has decided that we should have a Mardi Gras tree. But being social media, being what it was, and we teased it out there a little bit about it, and so we have a whole lot of citizens now interested in it being a Mardi Gras tree. So you will see the transformation, and so you'll be able to say that Mobile proudly has the largest Mardi Gras tree probably in the United States. So we're grateful to have that opportunity.
Well, thank goodness. We failed on the elf thing year in, year out. The city of Mobile to hold the Guinness World Book of Records of the most people with elf ears on. You know, you carve out wherever you can get some notice, right? Now, people in the fishing world, you know what I'm talking about. Like, there's people that get a record. They're like, I hold a IGFA record. And they find some obscure way to catch a, you know, it's a fly rod, a 2X tippet, and it's a pinfish. And I hold the record of that. It's kind of what we're stretching for. Now, we have failed at the elf ears. But now we have the, most likely, it hadn't been confirmed by Guinness yet, but the nation's largest Mardi Gras tree, which, in hearing that today, will probably begin some kind of rivalry renewed with the city of New Orleans. So, hey, it's with a grin on my face, we start up Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Phone number, text line, 343-0106. 343-0106. Yeah, we can talk some Mardi Gras trees. Do you have a Mardi Gras tree in your home? Oh, and speaking of stuff in your home, I had one of these stories that popped up, a couple of them today. There's actually quite a few things I need your help on. Number one, the story about came out this morning, the age when you're the most miserable. New study says 47.2 years old. I'm about 47.4 years old, and I'm a pretty happy guy. I don't know. It says you're most miserable. We'll get into that. At what age were you unhappiest? Was it... If you're young, maybe it had a limited view of the years, but if you're older, I don't know. It's a study out that says you're happy at 18, you're happy at 70, and it's a U curve down at the bottom is 47.2 years old. So there we go. We'll get into that. Also, talk about what's happening in Washington now as we at least are waiting at some point for the vote to go down in the House. I think it's going to be tomorrow. And then they moved the articles of impeachment. The Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, then gets her managers to physically carry the articles down, right? I really wish they were like dressed up in some kind of fanciful clothing or something, and shoes that made it. You've been in the Capitol before? There's marble floors in there. Wish they had not even hard-soled shoes, tap shoes, to walk down there, tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick, the whole way down, to take those to the Senate, to do nothing. I want to point out something, too, and we'll talk about you know, whether there's going to be witnesses or not, and what Mitch McConnell is going to have happen. I'm going to get some comments from Kevin McCarthy that I thought were interesting from a little bit earlier this morning as well. We could talk about all that. But do you see something changing? Barring any unforeseen circumstance, something that I have not heard of yet, do you see anything? Do you see two-thirds of the Senate in control of the Republicans voting to remove President Trump? If your answer is no, I don't think it's going to change, then what are we spending all this time? And I will, because I see the emails from y'all and the text, and you want to talk about this in detail. Fine, we can do it. We can go through the kabuki theater of it. But what happens? President Trump is not going to be removed by the Senate unless there's some big thing that I have not been privy to. Okay, as the situation stands now, the president will not be removed from office. So we're going to go through the process in the Senate, however it shapes out, with witnesses, not witnesses. And what are we going to do? I think we're going to do a couple things here for senators. They're going to say, oh, well, you know, those Republican senators that are pushing for witnesses or saying they're going to use that to somehow, they're going to be in a purple state. They're going to be somewhere that they need some crossover voting. Okay, they're going to be on the record for that. Maybe a few other Republican grandstanders there. And then on the Democrats, no, they're going to be assembling the material for their next campaign ad. Now, here's how we went after President Trump. But at the end of all that, and all the time spent, which could be 6 days a week for 3 or 4 weeks or maybe more, but they're saying at least 6 days a week of the process going on in the Senate, could be for a month in time, which runs over State of the Union. And also we'll get into the fact that it runs through the Iowa caucus for the Democrats. With all that being said, then we're going to just end up at the same place we're sitting right now, correct? No change in outcome. So what are we doing? I know what we're doing. We're talking right now in a city that itself has the biggest Mardi Gras tree in the nation. Throw away the elf ears and gather around the Mardi Gras tree. All right, coming right back. More of this show we call Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Did I mention the what could possibly be the nation's largest Mardi Gras tree? Did I mention that as we get started on this Midday Mobile? Thought it was of note. Elf thing didn't work out so well, but we've got the tree. I think we've probably got that on lock until New Orleans tries to best us at that. All right, welcome to the show. Midday Mobile, phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Love to hear your voice, but if you're so compelled, you're hiding there at work, you're not supposed to be interacting with talk radio, and you're trying to do it on the DL, okay, that's fine. Send the text message in. And Brian in Fairhope says, to deliver the articles of impeachment, I guess he means the managers should wear clown suits and squeaky big clown shoes as they walk down the halls there of the Capitol. That would be something. Tim says, wow, the whack jobs we have for politicians have finally agreed on something. The Mardi Gras tree. There we go. It's a positive. It's a positive for our city. And somebody get the Guinness folks on the phone and see if we can get something official done on this. We'll get to the Kevin McCarthy thing in a second, because I thought this was fairly interesting. Also, Dalton, I have an update on, remember the pigeons out in Las Vegas that had the cowboy hats on? I have an update on those. And Governor Kay Ivey, and whether Alabama will be home to refugees or not. That's you know the story, right? We talked about this off and on to some degree because Trump administration order that requires state consent to have resettlement of new refugees, and Governor Kay Ivey has been uncommitted on this. We get the details of that story coming up in just a little bit. And as you heard on WKRG, Florida, no vote for you on recreational marijuana for their 2020 ballot. That's what George wants to chime in about. Hey, George.
I just thought it was interesting. I just heard it on the buffer going out. I didn't know if you actually heard it. I didn't know if you were, you know, had the headphones off and didn't hear the news or whatever. But I thought it was interesting, obviously, with it being an election year. to try to get a measure like that on the ballot is obviously angled towards getting more people to the polls of a certain persuasion, maybe.
Well, I don't, but you look at it in state, I mean, anymore, I hear what you're saying, but anymore, I wonder if it's so split Democrat, Republican, or, and you know what, you can flip it around and say, okay, because you would have people go to the polls that wanted to oppose it as much too, right? I mean, people will go to vote against things as much as they go to vote for things,
well,
if it's something on a social.
Especially in an election year, like, you know, a presidential election, if Republicans would run to the ballot, or let's say conservatives, mm-hmm. if conservatives would run to the ballot to block a measure for marijuana, I mean, they're going to go to the polls anyway to vote for Trump.
Right.
But I could see some millennials are in that range that maybe not be excited about a Joe Biden or a candidate, you know, the, whoever they nominate.
Right, Bernie, but they want to go vote for weed.
Sanders. But, you know, I could see somebody getting off the couch and saying, I'm going to go vote because I want marijuana.
So, I mean, this is interesting that marijuana would take the place. And what George is talking about, y'all, is certain things will make it on in presidential years because on those cycles, there's a lot bigger turnout. It's just people get, even though I argue that, you know, your local government and your state government makes more difference in your everyday life, but people get excited about going to vote for the president. So maybe marijuana then is going to be the, you might be right, George, maybe putting a recreational weed on the ballot brings people out and has them, while they're there, they might as well vote for some of these people, too. Huh. Interesting theory. All right, this Kevin McCarthy thing. Kind of goes. So Kevin McCarthy has a, you know, does the weekly address here, right? He has a weekly address. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has his weekly address, his conference here on Capitol Hill. And at one point, he talked about a couple things here. He's talking about the Iranian officials. I want to get into this Iranian thing again because I got more to say on this. I want to hear from you on as well. You've got that part of it, but you also have Kevin McCarthy talking about what we opened up with and what will happen on the impeachment proceedings in the Senate. Now, remember, he's in the House, but he's talking about, hey, over there in the austere body, what will happen? And what effect will this be? Now, obviously, Kevin McCarthy, a Republican, you can look through this cynically and say, aha, I see what you're doing there. At the same time, is it not worth discussing? Okay, so McCarthy is talking about the fact that if they go through this long process with the witnesses in the Senate, it's something we've talked about before, what does this mean for senators that are Democrats that are running for the presidency? You know, Sanders and Warren and Klobuchar, right? I mean, what does it mean? What does it mean for them? They can't be out campaigning. He says, now he leaves some people off the list, like Buttigieg and all, but he's saying, hey, this move here to move the articles of impeachment slowly and then finally deliver them to the Senate is a big plan to block Bernie and to benefit Biden. Here, run the clip number one.
But if there's anyone who gained from this, it'd be anybody who's running for president that's not in the U.S. Senate. With Iowa quickly upon us in early February, those four senators who are running for president will now no longer have a voice. Interesting to me if I'd see the Democrat National Committee ask those who are not senators to not campaign while the others cannot.
Now who would that be, Kevin?
So Senator Sanders actually has a chance to win, but not now that Nancy Pelosi has held these documents. There was nothing gained. It goes against everything she said. But if you look at the true political nature of why, to harm one campaign and give a benefit to another. The only rightful thing of Joe Biden is to make a pledge not to campaign while Bernie Sanders cannot.
All right. So, with all due respect, Kevin McCarthy, have you watched Joe Biden campaign? Maybe that would be the best thing for his numbers if he didn't campaign. Or maybe that's the three-dimensional chess you're playing. Obviously, what Speaker McCarthy's referring to, and he's coming off, he's using this as a tool to discuss how long Speaker Pelosi sat on the articles of impeachment, which we've done ad nauseum, right? I mean, if you want to continue to talk about the same thing, there's lots of shows that talk about the same two subjects over and over again all the time. But we've talked about it a long time, sat on them, right? Speaker McCarthy, Minority Leader McCarthy is saying that This is Nancy Pelosi was doing this in a calculated move to benefit Joe Biden and to penalize Bernie Sanders. And I like talking about that because I said it the last time. Bernie Sanders got a raw deal in the last Democrat primary. I mean, you know, I know this is shocking to many, but there's somebody I would love to sit down and talk with. Because Bernie Sanders, who is 96% of the time the diametrically opposed to me politically, right? He and I are yin and yang, flip sides of the coin, polar opposites. But I believe that Bernie Sanders truly believes what he says. And he's even though he and I have different opinions, I think he has some integrity in holding those opinions honestly. And I think that's somebody I can sit down and debate with and have lunch and do all that with. Just disagree. And I truly, I mean, not just because I'm not a big hot take here or anything, but I mean, if you didn't watch what happened with the Clinton machine against Sanders in the last Democrat primary, you weren't looking, right? And the superdelegate move here, too, that was this insurance policy the Democrats had against a Bernie Sanders candidacy. So what Kevin McCarthy is doing is he's working off of that. And people like me that saw that in the last cycle, and he's intimating that this is a grand plan from Pelosi and probably the DNC, maybe the Clintons, to once again deny Bernie Sanders the ability to win the Democrat primary. That they're putting... Now, he doesn't... Kevin McCarthy... And I like where Kevin's going on this, but it's, I got to point out some of the... He does not actually mention the fact that Warren is a senator, Klobuchar is a senator. He didn't mention any of that. But he is angling around to say it's Bernie Sanders and it's Biden. And so, therefore, this is giving... putting Bernie Sanders is going to have to sit there for a month and not get to campaign, and the whole time Joe Biden's going to be able to be out campaigning. I could argue that that may be the best thing ever for Sanders and the worst thing for Biden. Maybe it's good. Maybe Biden takes that pledge. Remember, he said he wants Biden to take the pledge to not campaign. Play clip three again.
So Senator Sanders actually has a chance to win, but not now that Nancy Pelosi has held these documents. There was nothing gained. It goes against everything she said. But if you look at the true political nature of why, to harm one campaign and give a benefit to another. The only rightful thing of Joe Biden is to make a pledge not to campaign, but Bernie Sanders cannot.
I think maybe I like it more because of the very serious, the solemn tone that... Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy takes. Maybe that's what abuses me more than anything. This might be part of the mix. All right. I want to start off with this question. This is a story you're going to hear about going forward over the probably next week or two, but a story, I think it's an AP story that showed up at AL.com. I know a lot of acronyms. Yeah, so it's over at AL.com. Headline, Ivy, no decision reached on Alabama accepting refugees, by the a story by the Associated Press. Says Alabama Governor Kay Ivey is remaining uncommitted on whether Alabama will accept the resettlement of new refugees under a new Trump administration order that requires state consent. Alabama is one of a handful of states that has not announced a decision after President Donald Trump said agencies must get written permission from state and local officials in jurisdictions where they want to resettle refugees beyond June of 2020. Now, remember, this is the refugee in the Silver Hill area. Remember the Baldwin County and the airfields and the whole nine? This is that. Okay, Governor Ivey's press secretary, Gina Miola, wrote in an email, I never get them from her for some reason, or any contact, said, at this point, our office is still working through the executive order and consulting with the State Department and other entities involved in the order to reach a decision, end quote. Now, governors in 42 states have given consent to allowing in more refugees. According to the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, the governors in Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, South Carolina, and Wyoming have not stated a position. Now, Texas Governor Greg Abbott this month said his state will no longer accept resettlement of new refugees. Texas is the first state known to do so. Unlike Texas, Alabama has historically taken in few refugees. The state took in 46 refugees in fiscal year 2017, according to a report from the Pew Research Center. So I guess the Washington is waiting on the state to say yes or no whether we will take refugees in. What if you get a situation where you have none of the states accepting to take the refugees in? Do they all stay in the District of Columbia? Do they have to go to Puerto Rico or Guam? Or I mean, what do we do at that point? Talk about that more when we get back. But Governor Ivey still got to make that decision. And, oh, yeah, speaking of the governor and speaking of Montgomery, some moves here. We have one of the contractors that could have built prisons for the state of Alabama for us to rent space from is out of the mix. We'll get to that coming up. And did I mention that Mobile, it looks like right now, if you check around, but Mobile has the largest Mardi Gras tree. Somebody call Guinness, seriously, and get me a Guinness while you're at it.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. Coming up at 1 o'clock, ask the sheriff your chance to talk directly with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. That's going to happen about 1:05 today. We'll talk to him. He'll be in studio. Also, if we have time, the story, I'm gonna go ahead and put this up on Twitter because the stories tell, there's like I said, multiple stories today I felt were targeting me. The story about 47 being the most unhappy age of your life, and I'm like, come on, man, I'm happy. And then a story by Catherine Binley over at the Wall Street Journal that I just put up on Twitter, so you want to check out at FM Talk 106.5 on Twitter, about something I know you have in your house. I may have not even been in your house, but somewhere it is either in a cardboard box or it's in, can I admit this? Yeah, because I can claim that I have no idea how or it could be like in one of those little shopping baskets. You know, if you're not going to get the cart, you get the little shopping basket, the two handles there. Could be in that. Could be in a plastic bag. It's full of cords for electronics that you don't know what they go to. You don't want to talk about that. Like the little power, power portion, and then the cord, and then like a connector cord. Maybe you still have some old telephone cords in there. Some random pieces of coax and Cat 5 cable and right stuff from some old VCR, a DVD, or like a mini disc, or one of your smartphones, or your flip phone from the old day. You have it. I know. I've not been in your house, but I know somewhere you have a bag or a box of these cords because you're pretty sure at some point you're going to be in a situation where you've got to have. Right, because if you're like me, you dream this scenario where you're like, oh, if only we had the power cord that went to this thing that we threw away years ago, we would solve our problem. And I could be the hero. I could go there to the big box of cords, and I would have the right cord that would fit the back of whatever this electronic piece of junk is that we have long since gotten rid of, or it doesn't work. So just admit to me, if you want to keep it private, you can do it on the text line. What I'm saying, that somewhere in your home, there's a cord box or bag, or like may or may not be in our home, a little shopping, those little plastic shopping things. I really do not know how they got in our house. So I'm not guilty of, I would not walk off with one of those things. But somehow it is in our home, and it holds a bunch of those cords. All right, so you can, confessional is open here at 343-0106. And, okay, we'll get those inside. I do want to go to the phones and talk to a Thomas first up in beautiful downtown Theodore. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Sean. Good afternoon. Happy New Year. And Sean.
Yes.
I'm wondering about this Space Force we got now.
Okay.
Now, Pence, he crowned a new comrade or commander of our Space Force. Mm-hmm. Now, what do they ride around in?
Do they have to ride around anything yet?
Well, you know, the Air Force got planes, and we got trains, and the Army's got tanks, and the Navy's got boats. I mean, do we have any mode of...
No, that's a good question. So, good question. What will they commandeer a space shuttle, is what you're wondering, right? And put some lasers on it.
Yeah, and they have to ride around and watch everything. Wouldn't you think a force would be watching and protecting us?
But don't you think they can find something? Maybe one of the SpaceX rockets? Use that?
Yeah. Do we get a new serial like jets? And I'd like some badges and hats for the kids.
Well, you know what the trainees are called, right?
Pardon?
The people that are training to be in Space Force would be Space...
Cadets.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, well, we used that about 2 months ago, and it wasn't very funny when we first said it.
I thought it was pretty good back then. So what do you? So you? Let me ask you.
What are they going to do?
Okay, so this is fair enough. So okay, let's be frank. My reaction when I first heard the president talk about Space Force, I went, "Oh my gosh!" You know, I was thinking, "What are we going to do?" The more time that's gone on, I'm going to be a proponent of it here, Thomas, not just to be devil's advocate and argue. You know what? I'm sure there was a time when they were splitting off the Army Air Corps, you know, into the Air Force. People were saying, well, we don't need a whole Air Force. That's not going to be a big enough deal. I think it's... Do you don't think that there's going to be a reason to have... Now, could it be a division of the Air Force? I could argue that it could. But do you don't think we need to be working our butts off to be... Having some ability to defend ourselves from space and in space?
Yeah, we do have to defend the Arctic. The Russians got their eyes, in Finland, they got mm-hmm. their eyes on the Arctic. Mm-hmm. And in NASA, that branched off from the Air Force, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't know.
They did.
Okay, maybe they did. I don't know how they came about, so I'll have to check that. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you think we shouldn't have a space...
Well,
you think we shouldn't
get an idea what the hell they're going to be doing for 8 hours a day and costing us $20 billion in the first
they're
year?
They're designing
like
uniforms. You know that, Thomas. The first couple years, we're going to design the uniforms.
Okay. All right.
And then we'll
I'm
get down to work.
I'm interested in the cereal because I don't have any teeth, so I want something soft.
Okay, so you want a soft, so nothing like a Captain Crunch or a Fruit Loops or something like that. You want something more like the marshmallows in Trix.
Yeah, or okay, puff cigarettes. You know where they shoot the puffs out of the cannon?
Yes.
You know that cereal? That would be good. And then it'd go with the military options. See, they have cannons, puff cannons.
I'm writing all that down, Thomas. Thank you. But when they first came up, the discussion of Space Force, which, oh, by the way, I got a Space Force story, the new angle, the new controversy du jour, or should I say du hour, the way the world goes these days. Space Force, when I first heard it, did I kind of smirk? And I did. But more time goes on, I got to tell you, I think I'm on board with the president and others here. How it's designed and what they do. But you got to be... Now, does it need to be its own... I can get in that argument. Does it need to be its own force, or should it just be ancillary to the Air Force? I may make the argument that let's just have a branch of the Air Force. But there's a focus on how we would fight the next war, right? Hopefully, we'll never fight another one. But unfortunately, we're human beings. And until a lot changes with us, there's always... somewhere on the horizon, hopefully so very distant, some kind of war declared, police, whatever. And maybe one day it's space. Think about what Reagan dealt with, right, when he was lampooned for the Star Wars program. Right, how silly that was. Look at the situation now with shooting down missiles. Which, by the way, the Iron Dome that Israel runs and all that. By the way, I do want to get to this Iran story in just a second. Because let me just tell you quickly. I'm seeing... You want to talk about something scary? Scarier than being somebody as part of the government or the military or the mullahs in Iran is the arbitrary nature of a totalitarian regime like that, that they've now decided to arrest some people for shooting down that Ukrainian airliner, right? And what you want to bet, it's somebody that took a command. Somebody frontline that was told by this general or this mullah, you know, you do. They were, be frank with you, they were taking a command to maybe they said, oh, well, here's the incoming American missile, whatever they thought. They didn't shoot down the Ukrainian, that Boeing jet for the Ukrainian airlines because they thought it was swell. They thought they made a mistake and thought it was something incoming. Do the higher-ups take the responsibility? Does a buck go up and stop there? No, 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 no. The Iranians have arrested people, and they're going to put them on trial. Remember, they got all the protests in the streets, right? They got the protests in the streets. People are very mad at the top of the government and the mullahs in Iran. So what they'll do, they'll arrest these people. They'll put them on a trial, kangaroo court, and they'll execute them as some way to absolve themselves of any responsibility. Watch out. Think about what that must feel like to somebody in Iran. Gosh. All right. A lot of y'all have the cord problem in your home. I'm going to talk about that when we get back. Stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1250 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile. Seriously, think about two groups here. I'm crying no tears for like the Saudis that were expelled, the 21. Remember, Attorney General William Barr yesterday talking about this Pentagon investigation into what went on that led up to the murder spree by that Saudi national at NES Pensacola. Then they expelled 21 some of the stuff connecting them to jihadi movements, but some of these dirtbags with child porn and all this stuff, and they expelled them. So I would say, and remember, this is the same Saudi, right? Remember Khashoggi and how they dealt with him. So no, the Saudi royal family is never going to admit it to anything, but if they need to sacrifice some of these Saudi servicemen that were over here, because they said they're going to put them on trial in Saudi Arabia, don't you know they're begging? Don't you know those servicemen say, nah, we'll go back to Florida. Can we have our trial there? No, going back to Saudi. So they're going to have their trial there. And then the Iranians, this story today where they made the arrest. So Iranian officials have arrested people they said were responsible for shooting down that Ukrainian jet. Now, maybe somebody can prove me wrong here, but I don't think the people behind making the decision to shoot that down went, oh, look, there's a passenger jet full of Canadians and Ukrainians and Iranians, and they're flying. Let's shoot that down. No, they were so worried that we were going to just smash them in the mouth when they shot those missiles at those bases. Remember, I mean, they had to expect that. A pretty good chance that what we're they're trying to save face and get even with the United States, at least to play the home crowd. But they weren't sure if President Trump wouldn't say, all right, let's punch them right back. So I'm sure that somebody made a mistake looking at that jet. Why you had that jet taking off right then and they didn't lock, I don't know. I don't know what happens at Tehran International. What's that like? Anybody ever traveled there before? What is it like there? Is there a Delta? Is there a Crown Room? A Sky Lounge or the Crown Room? Is there anything like that? Can you do the Sky Lounge there at Tehran International? But so that plane takes off. It gets shot down by the Iranians. Okay. It was the top Iranians that went, no, that wasn't us. We got the black box. We think it crashed. It's a Boeing. Remember, they said all this stuff. Then it turns out that it's not. The people themselves find out about it. The people are protesting. Now, they didn't arrest these people early on. Remember, they arrest them now that there's dissent in the streets. Are they arresting? Does the buck go to the top to the mullahs and stuff? No. Iran says, oh, we've arrested the people that were, you know, they were responsible for this, and we're putting them on trial. And you know what? They very well may put them on like a 2-week trial and execute them. But they have a story, by the way, too. You look at Drudge today. If I'm lying, I'm dying here. Saudi Arabia executed record number of prisoners in 2019. Think about how those Saudis going back, the ones expelled are feeling it. But think about these Iranians. So they're going to be put on a trial. They're going to be found guilty of shooting it down. And then the mullahs are going to call for their execution as some way to absolve themselves of the responsibility of what their regime has caused. So you want to talk about, I don't care, you wake up on a Monday morning and life really stinks because you're 47.2 years old. As the study shows, unhappiest age ever. And you go, and what am I doing? You know what? You could be the regular enlisted person in the Iranian military that's working at missile defense there, who probably feels beyond horrible. I mean, can you imagine having that on your conscience that you shot down a jetliner full of innocent people? Because, I mean, I imagine the rank and file people there in the Iranian military may scream death to America, but they're not screaming death to other Iranians or Ukrainians or whatever. And you're getting arrested and going to be put on trial by the mullahs so they can appease the people in the streets. Just take long draws on that one, would you? All right. The cord thing, by the way, and yes, and the Saudis aren't going to do much better. The cord thing, before we finish up the hour, because we've got the sheriff coming in here, and lots of law enforcement questions for him. And by the way, you can always text those in or call them in to 343-0106. But this story from the Wall Street Journal, I think this was telling, this is one of those stories just about time somebody did this, and let's all come clean and admit our frailties. And the story headline here, admit it, you have a box of cords you'll never, ever use again. Catherine Binley did the story. I put it up on the Twitter feed. And she runs through the stories of families and people just like you and me from all across the country that have this problem where we have boxes or drawers or bags full of cords to things we don't even know what they go to. Right? We long since thrown away things we weren't sure. But you hold. Why do you hold on to them? Oh, because one day I'm going to need that power cord or that cable. So from the text line, the most number of texts we've got on the subject all week, I would say, even from the weekend shows, has been people in their admission. I'm glad you're coming clean here on your cord issues. Now we have different. Some people have a tote. See, Brian has a tote. I like that. Like I can picture a big tote, storage tote of cords in his workshop. Brian, you ever had to use one of those? Mark uses gallon Ziploc bags, I guess, to kind of organize the different cords. Cecil has a box. Billy has drawers full. Al has multiple drawers and a cabinet full of cords. My buddy Chris Francis says he has that box. He has that box of cords. There's another box. Box. Let's see. Are there other ways to store them? Box. Sack. Box. Where is he? Oh, okay. There's some people say they also hang them up in the order. No, you don't. Somebody say I got a pegboard and I have them hung up by use and size. No, you don't. Send me a picture. It's nobody that has the cords that you have no idea what they go to, and you've organized them on a pegboard. But I need to see a picture. No way. Okay, I'm waiting for the picture. Oh, and my buddy Chris says, Chris, I want to see a picture of you using it too. Chris says, I use stuff from that box all the time. No, you don't. You're lying, Chris. You're lying. When was the last time you had a piece of electronics and you went, if I only had kept the power cord that works with this thing, let me go to this rat's nest full of cords and cables and voila, there's the thing. I'm the champion. I fixed the problem. I have the cord for it. Believe me, I'm just as guilty as all of y'all, but I'm just coming clean and admitting that I don't know what they go to. I don't know why I feel compelled to keep that big Gordian knot of cords. I know there's going to be some point in the future, or you know what you want even more than needing it yourself? You know this is true. You want somebody, a friend or a family member in need, to have a cord to something, and you'd be able to go, what is that? It's a Sanyo VCR, and you need to go to a a turntable, and then into a Microsoft Zune. Remember Zune? That was when Microsoft was going to compete with iPod. And because I'm a difficult contrarian, I bought the Zune. Yeah, I still got one of those. It sits there. I got a cord for it, too. And somebody needs that cord, and you can step up and say, ha, I got the cord you need. I'm going to save your day right here. I don't believe it. All right, we'll talk. We'll ask the sheriff about that when we come back after the break. And a lot of seriously, got a question about conceal and carry, the law, how the law is applied. We're going to talk about police jurisdiction a whole lot more when Sheriff of Mobile County Sam Cochran joins us next hour. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Thank you for some of the designs here you're coming up with for the Space Force uniforms too. I appreciate that.